Good afternoon. It's good to welcome you to the Salvation Army here in Felixstowe this afternoon. We gather to give thanks to God for the life of John. He's had such a tremendous influence upon so many people's lives. And I want you to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ took John home, the angels were celebrating in heaven, because one of the children of God had been called into his eternal presence. So let me invite you to join with me as we sing together our first song. If you've got your order of service, or the words will appear on the screen. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. There are four verses. Can we sing all four straight through, please? Thank you. Let's sing all four straight through. Thank you. Thank you for a good sing. Let me invite you, please, to be seated. And as we do, let me invite you to prepare for prayer this afternoon. We gather to give thanks to God for John's life, but also to bring before our Father God, Maureen, David and Robert, and the family. We want that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will continue to be their experience in the days that lie ahead. I'm ever so grateful that there's an account in the Bible where Jesus went to visit a friend who died. And the shortest verse in the Bible simply says, and Jesus wept. The Son of God experienced what it was like to be separated from a loved one. And he wept. it's not unreasonable for us as Christians to shed tears. That's the way God has made us. So let's share prayer together. Father God, we are gathered and drawn to this place this afternoon to give thanks to you for a life well lived. We want to thank you for John and for his influence upon our lives and for the shared ministry that both he and Maureen have had within this town and the surrounding area for many years. I thank you for their keen desire to see people saved and brought to Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And our prayer is that, Father God, this time we share together will be a source of comfort, that your Holy Spirit will move from heart to heart, that you might, Father God, strengthen us and keep us faithful until you call us into your eternal presence. And as we move through this act of worship, Father God, I pray that there will be many good memories brought to our mind of our time with John and with Morgan. Father God, help us, we pray, to take up the mantle that John has laid down and to carry on the work that you gave him and you now pass on to us. So Lord, make your presence felt here today, we pray, and minister your grace as only you can, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's lovely to have with us Lieutenant Colonel Goff and Diane Payne, who were COs here at Felixstowe, core officers here at Felixstowe a little while ago, but they're pleased to be with us and they're going to lead the rest of our service today. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And may I say, first of all, straight away, what a privilege it is for Diane and me to share in this service for John, and as well as for Maureen and the family. It's thank you so much for asking us. It really is a privilege, and it's good to be back. And it's good to see a lot of faces that we remember from 18 years ago. Can you believe it? But it's good to see new people here as well. And I make no apology. Today is going to be a celebration, a Thanksgiving service, as well as a time for reflection. But it's going to have a very Christian, a very spiritual emphasis. And we make no apology for that. And that is what the family would like. And that, I know, is what John would have liked too. So before we go any further, we have some very special tributes to John from both David and Robert, his sons. And I invite you, in whichever order you wish to come, to the platform.
Afternoon. It does feel a bit like coming home. just to continue what Goff was saying, just on behalf of the family, just really want to thank you all for coming today. And it's amazing to see so many of you here, especially such a full band, so thank you. It means a lot. We deeply appreciate it and are very grateful for the love and support you've shown us, especially Mum, over the past few weeks and also months. So forgive me, I'm going to read from my notes today, I'm sure you understand. I just want to share a few quick reflections about Dad with you, thoughts I hope may resonate with you in some way. As most of you all know, Dad was suffering, well, to be more accurate, he's being tortured by the evaporation of his great mind by dementia. This was distressing for us all, but especially for him. He was an intelligent and strong man who was witnessing the deterioration of his memory. It wasn't easy at all, but we take great comfort in knowing that Dad was promoted to glory. As the Salvation Army declares, because of his robust faith in Jesus. In fact, we do know that Dad was earnestly praying and asking God that he would have mercy and take him to glory as soon as possible. I mean, why hang around and suffer when you know your destiny through Jesus is in heaven? And that was the simple truth that I'd lived by and pursued until the very end. Dad had an incredibly strong work ethic. He was tireless in his work at the co-op and served his staff and the mission of the movement with true dedication. He totally believed in the mandate of the movement to serve the local community, especially the poor, and provide quality at affordable prices. He found great satisfaction in that a strong co-op meant that they could offer help and fund other activities, such as, you know, the co-op juniors, the acting group, music, education, and other enrichment activities for all of the community. He really enjoyed his work, and especially investing in his staff. I remember growing up during the 80s, and I think from memory we experienced three or so recessions through the late 90s, and I'll never forget Dad taking great pride in telling me that he managed to retain all, if not almost all, his staff during these troubled times, not letting them go because of a downturn, but by standing with them and ensuring he supported them in whatever way he could, even those that he used to class as giving him a headache. But Dad understood how important relationships are in life. He was a great salesman, always trying to cut a deal. And in retirement, this was embarrassingly done at almost every transaction. Even in a cafe, he played a poor old retired gent who needed a discount. This was only to wind up the staff, but I'm just not sure they always found it that funny. I bet Alan Sugar would be proud, though. However, unlike what you witness on the TV, a proper robust deal is done on the relationship. Understanding the other person, what matters to them, and always respecting them. To a large extent today, I believe we've lost this art of respectful negotiation and deal-making. But Dad taught me a lot in business, and this is one of the greatest lessons I witnessed through his example. To get ahead, you do best when you work with people and respect them, not bring them down. And understanding people and having a healthy discourse while remaining respectful of others' beliefs is indeed now more than ever, and again, needed now more than ever. And again, Dad was a great example of this. I'll be forever grateful for the way he demonstrated respect and intrigue for others. Sure, he may have disagreed with them at times, and hilarious circumstances maybe, but I believe he and Mum have taught me and my brother how to view all people as genuinely equal, regardless of their colour, religion, sex or class. And Dad also taught me a few other traits, or rather quotes, which make me smile today when I realise where I've inherited them from, or certain events trigger memories. So here's two that come to mind. His phrase, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." This was on a car sticker we had embarrassingly plastered on the rear of our car during the late 80s. Obviously, it was some form of witness, but I think it was also Dad's way of providing an excuse for the visible damage done to the car, or indeed the times he parked by touch, or did some other antic on the motorway. Another phrase, which he often used, was, "We're under grace, not law." I guess it was as I explored my teenage years that this often used phrase by Dad came into its own. As a classic Gen X who likes to challenge the rules, this line is dynamite. And my children will no doubt delight in retelling some of the antics I've told them of what I got up to school, and I'm sure I subconsciously used this phrase to pardon myself. But Dad used this phrase, though, when describing, you know, with respect, army barmy activities, which I'm sure, you know, I mean that with respect, because he loved the Salvation Army and everything about it. But the fact that he was more wanting to focus on lost souls instead of events and programs. He wanted to know how and when we would pray, and especially when the gospel would be preached. I have to admit that this approach to life is thoroughly embedded in my soul too. And I'm sure my long-suffering wife and children will testify to that. Dad genuinely cared for people and worked tirelessly for them. He donated generously to charities, helping the poor, the marginalised and the persecuted church. Mercy Ships, the Barnabas Fund being two of his key charities other than the Salvation Army. Now Martin Luther King once said, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" Now I'm tempted to say that this is my last thought, as it sums up Dad perfectly in so many ways. But to be honest, I don't think Dad would say that's the greatest question you need to ask yourself. It might be the second most important, but the first, however, is what he would say is, where are you going? All of us here today know that Dad would never shy away from sharing his faith in a respectful way. The deal maker, as I mentioned earlier, and the relationship builder, he would always want to find out where people were at regarding Jesus, and then encouraged them to come closer to finding out for themselves his great experience of salvation. Dad was an evangelist to his court because I believe the mission William Booth established the Salvation Army movement on gave him a framework and a mandate to bring meaning to his own salvation. Dad didn't want his faith for himself, but wanted to share it and its impact on his life with others. Because after all, faith without actions is meaningless. I would therefore like to leave you with a quote from a speech that William Booth gave at his last public appearance at the Royal Albert Hall in 1912. The founder of the Salvation Army, in front of a crowd of, I think, 7,000, gave his farewell sermon, closing with these words. Sorry, it's so fundamental, I believe, to what Dad was about. While women weep, as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry, as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out, as they do now, I will fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor lost girl in the street, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end. So yeah, well done, Dad. You did indeed fight to the very end, and we're all incredibly grateful, proud and indebted for all your service, sacrifice and love. And your legacy does live on. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. That was an amazing tribute to Dad. And I just echo Dave's thanks to everyone here. And it's lovely to see Trudy here as well. Trudy, who helped look after Dad in his last few months. So we're so grateful. One of my earliest memories of Dad is of me climbing into his lap after a Sunday lunch, snuggling in and twizzling his wedding ring round while we watched the Beverly Hillbillies in black and white on the telly. One of those tellies you had to get up and actually press the button, remember those? That whistled with the tube. He had a fantastic sense of humour. Dad was always, as Dave said, such a hard worker. He was determined that we, David and I, would have more options in life than he did. I used to love visiting him at work, and as Dad was one of the most senior executives at the Co-op, I always felt like I walked taller when I entered the building, and especially when I saw how much his staff liked and respected him. You know, I knew I was the son of the boss, and when I would dive bomb into the beanbag displays, none of the staff intervened. It was like having diplomatic immunity. But that's the thing about great dads. They cover and they protect you. They provide, they shelter, they encourage. They love us through hugs and cuddles as well as through challenge and discipline. And Dad did all of these. He came with me to many of my later piano exams. His calm and collected presence and reassurance meant the world to me. Although Dad supported my music, he really wanted me to enter into one of the professions, as in his eyes, music didn't necessarily offer the best job security. However, he came round, and in the end, he supported my dream, and I'm so grateful for that. And him and Mum would come up to London to my concerts and various other things, and that meant the world. Dad was, as Dave said, incredibly bright and talented. He was like a walking spell checker for both me and Mum. And he was a brilliant artist, and some of his artwork is on display in the hall at the back. My funniest memory of Dad was while we were on holiday at Sunbury Court as a family. Dad was putting me to bed and reading me George's Marvelous Medicine by Roald Dahl. Dad had the annoying habit of laughing before he'd read the sentence out loud, leaving me wondering what was so funny. But when it got to the part about animal pills, Dad was weeping with laughter. In fact, he was almost paralytic with laughter. And I quote, Then there, Dave quoted Martin Luther King, William Booth. I quote Roald Dahl. Anyway, there was a bottle of thick yellowish liquid. It said this: "For cows, bulls, and bullocks, will cure pox, mange, crumpled horns, bad breath in bulls, earache, toothache, headache, hoofache, tailache, and sore udders. That grumpy old cow in the living room has every one of those rotten illnesses," George said. "She'll need it all." I think it was the sore udders that really got Dad and finished him off that evening. So he had this brilliant wit and sense of humour, but as Dave said, an incredible work ethic, and he loved his wife and family so well. And I'm so grateful to God for my dad. I'm grateful for the man of integrity and rock-solid faith that he was. Integrity, I remember one day sitting in his office, and one of his staff came in and he said, on your lunch break, would you have time to just pop into the estate agents and get me a highlighter, please? And they were like, yes, of course, of course. And he said, here's £5, take it. And they were like, why? You're the boss. You can just have it to use. It's for work. And Dad said, it's not for work. It's for my use at home. And his integrity really struck me then, even as a young child, that he would not dream of even taking a pen home from the office to use for his own personal means. And I'm grateful to be raised in a home with a father who loved Mum and I and Dave very much, who provided for us, who taught us to love and respect the scriptures, to be generous and to tithe, to look after the poor and the marginalized, and as Dave said, share the gospel. Dad was a friend of Jesus. He was a man whose life had been transformed by an encounter with God. Every morning without fail, he would lock himself away with the Lord to pray and study the scriptures. This is the sign of a great man, one who puts God first. When I say Dad believed in Jesus, I don't mean it's a belief such as that which children have in Father Christmas or the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny. It is not, as some people think, wishful thinking that brought him or us comfort in difficult or times of difficulty or struggle. This is truth that is more real and concrete to those of us who believe than the very ground on which we stand. So when our world was shaken by Dad's passing, we knew beyond any shadow of a doubt where he was and that we will again be united with him one day. And although our hearts break with the sorrow of our loss, we do not despair because we have the peace that comes from God and know that even now, God is working to heal the broken places on the inside of us. As David said, Dad was an evangelist. His picture up here at the top right-hand corner of this banner, which Mum made for the 125th anniversary of this church, looks down on us today. And do take a moment to look at it when you go through for refreshments. And he would implore this church and all the believers here today that there is an urgency not to forget the commission of Jesus to go into all the world and make disciples. It's not an option, it's an imperative. And Dad lived that imperative. He loved to share the good news. Although Dad was a remarkably intelligent man, he did not believe in Jesus because he was intellectually convinced, but because he'd actually encountered Jesus himself. And you can read about that in your order of service. Both Mum and Dad have led many people to Jesus over the years, including those in their final stages of life. And I'm sure Dad will have already had the joy of meeting many of them in heaven. The sudden illness that happened a few weeks ago demonstrates to all of us that none of us know when our time may come. It might be tomorrow, it might be this evening. Those timings are not guaranteed to any of us. But Jesus offers to us the same assurance and opportunity not to fear that moment that Dad lived with. If Dad was speaking to you today, and in one sense he is, he would say to you, don't miss this opportunity to respond to the call to Jesus. Dad's legacy is substantial. The scores of people he led to the Lord, discipled, taught to read the Bible. In fact, he was the one who gave many their very first Bible. I remember going over with him to the Christian bookshop on several occasions to get a Bible or various materials for new believers he was mentoring. He was a modest and humble man who would have been overjoyed and slightly taken aback to read all the wonderful things people have written about him in the cards that my mum has received and I know have been such a comfort to her. Please do take a moment to complete the memory card that many of you will have been given on the way in. We would love to hear about your memories of Dad. But it's a shame that so many of us reserve our kindest words about someone till after their death. We say to their loved ones the things that we never said to them. Several years ago, I felt to write to Dad and tell him the things I was grateful for and to express my love. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity. If you know there's someone you need to express your love and gratitude to, don't hesitate, don't wait until it's too late. I know my dad loved Mum so much. While in hospital in October, he would constantly tell me and everyone else how much he loved and missed her. He was so proud of Dave and Miriam, Josh, Anna and Zach. And while in later years illness robbed him of the ability to engage as fully as he would have liked, he cherished the times he spent with his grandchildren painting in his study. And you'll see, as you'll see in the photos later, he still knew how to have fun. We're so grateful we got to spend this past Christmas with him. He really enjoyed his Christmas dinner. Roast was his favorite. He wasn't much into foreign food, despite having lived in Nigeria and traveled around the world. I think Mum will tell you that when they got married, Dad asked his mum to teach my mum how to make the gravy just the way he liked it. Home was certainly where Dad's heart was, and he cherished the home he and Mum made together, both at Mill Lane and Tommy. Dad's legacy lives on in his family. It lives on in the work, the ministries and causes which Dave, Mum, Miriam and myself are engaged in. It lives on in his grandchildren and the lives still being impacted by his ministry, friendship and work. It lives on in the charitable causes which he was so passionate about. Mum will tell you that even though many things are beyond his capacity in the last months of his life, he was still always concerned that these causes received their monthly donations. Generous and passionate about the gospel to the end. Dad would always thank God for his love. He never seemed to get over the love of God that transformed his life, and nor should we. He was so grateful, and as are we as a family. So how shall I end my tribute to my dad? I pray that his legacy lives on and is multiplied through those of us who remain, and that anyone who is here today who doesn't know where they go when their life ends, comes to an end, will right now, today, make that decision not to play Russian roulette with their eternal destiny, but turn to Christ. Jesus loves you so much, and I know Dad wants to see you all again. Remember, Dad was an extrovert, and the more people he has to talk to in heaven, the better. I love you, Dad.
Well, you've heard some eloquent words from both David and Robert and some wonderful memories of their father. But Diane and I were the officers here for quite a long period. And it's whenever you are an officer, it's wonderful to have the support of your soldiers. And it's wonderful to come back here and as I said earlier, to see some faces that we remember from those days. But I want to say this about John. Five things, if you will permit me, and this will be brief. He was generous. He was generous with his time. He was generous with his money. And especially in supporting the work overseas. You can read about that as well in the order of service. He was keen. He was keen to see people come to faith, and Robert has shared that as well. One of the things that we introduced while we were here was the Alpha course, and John and Maureen, I think, attended every single one and encouraged people to come, and encouraged people to commit their lives to the Lord Jesus and to grow in their knowledge of God as well. He was supportive. When we started a prayer event, I think it was called Lookout, and it continued for many years. I don't know if it's still going, but it finished at COVID. Well, even so, that was a long period, probably getting on for 20 years. So, and John was always there to ensure that continued. Very special event, which we will always be grateful for, was when we left this corps in 2004.
we were sent to Uganda. And when we arrived in Uganda, which a country that we had known before, but we arrived to find that the regional vehicle was a Tata. Now, you've never probably heard of Tata, but they actually own Land Rover. It's an Indian company, best known for making buses. And they obviously ventured into four-wheel drive making, but didn't do a very good job. And the one we had was awful. And we broke down on the way back to Nairobi on one occasion, and I think we must have told Maureen and John. And as a result, John wrote to the general. Now people write to the general all the time, let me tell you that, much of it is ignored. But John Larson, and I've checked this out with him, received this letter and made available $52,000 for us to buy a new vehicle for the region. Wasn't that wonderful? To have that kind of support from a soldier who we'd left behind. And you speak about David, about John as a deal maker. He lived in Nigeria. You have to be a deal maker if you live in Nigeria, all right? And yeah. Now let's hear a Bible reading from Diane.
Well, I likewise have to say that I have very much to be thankful to John for. He used to look after the Sunday Bible class for the teenagers, and my teenagers benefited so much from his spiritual input and his ability to listen and not to shy away from answering awkward questions. And so I've got a lot to be thankful for him. He had a wicked sense of humour, and sometimes I didn't know if he was making fun or he was serious, because he had this straight face when he was saying stuff. But like others here, I have to say, I thank God for John, and I thank God for the influence that he had on my children as they were growing up in this corps, along with other people, of course. But today is a day to thank people for John. Or thank God, sorry, for John. And I understand that the Bible reading that has been chosen for today is one of John's favourites. This, again, has a bit of humour in it, because before the Bible reading, the bit that I'm going to read you is the bit which says, I want to be good, but I can't. I try to do what's right, but I keep doing the wrong thing. I think you know the passage of scripture I'm talking about. It comes in Romans chapter 7, and we're starting at verse 21, where he says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, having heard that last verse about thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord, he goes on to say, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Wonderful words. We'll never get it all right this side of heaven, but praise God for the righteousness of Jesus for each one of us who's put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. And we're going to sing again now a song which I know John loves, because it carries on the theme, I'm not worthy of salvation, but in Christ Jesus I am. And we're going to stand to sing, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood. Let's stand together and sing. Can we sing it all the way through?